We bring all of our transcript typists over to pad the audience. Okay, for the purpose of the transcript, I'll introduce these gentlemen again. On my right is Charles Diedrich, the return-to-Earth officer on this shift. Milton Wendler is the flight director, and Jay Green is the flight dynamics officer. And we'll start with just a quick run-through on the shift from Milt Wendler.
Okay, I'll repeat my opening remarks. Whoopee! Y'all not a very... Yes, you can quote me on that. We're all obviously elated. We realize that we're not home yet, but we feel like it's downhill from here. And it actually turns out that the people that you see, Chuck here, the return to Earth officer, and Jay, the flight dynamics officer, are also the ones that will play a big part in the last 7 or 8 hours prior to the entry. It happens that our team will be on then. Running through, so we know we've got that ahead of us, and we have one more shift of relatively light activity, and then we get squared away for the entry, hoping that the previous teams, of course, will leave us in fine shape for that. But we do feel like that the big thing was the TEI burn, and we've got that behind us. Essentially, the burn, as you copied, was nominal. We looked at the engine performance after it was over. It was all good. And the two gentlemen here can answer the questions and details on the trajectory. And we hope that you'll bear with us if we look like zombies while we watch the LOI, of course. We watch the TV, and we tried to get some rest today, and we watched we were there a little bit early trying to get ourselves pulled together for the last couple of three revs there, and have just now gotten off shift, so we're not in the best of shape ourselves. The crew's in pretty good condition, I guess I'd have to say. I guess I'll have to make the medical report tonight by default, since we didn't have the doctor with us, but you're aware that the last couple of revs, we pared some of the activity down to let him rest, and I thought that Lovell sounded quite a bit better when he came up to get himself squared away for the alignments and the TEI maneuvers. Right now, Borman and Lovell are asleep. You're probably aware of all of this, and Anders is awake. We just had was coming back over here, we had a temporary loss of voice comm with the spacecraft. We had data. We lost the data for a short while, but then we lost the voice communication for a while. Apparently some plug was disconnected, and that's really about all I know about that, except everybody's on board's okay, of course, and all the systems are still okay. They've been performing fabulously. And we finished up with some small sighting. It's not clear to me yet, and I was talking to the flight planning people, the flight activities people, that we didn't get some of the data on the backside of the moon the last two or three revs. We got the tape dumps back, but the quality, it was really a mistake in the way they played the voice part of it back, and we had to replay that, and they were still looking at some of the information. So it may be that we didn't really miss everything that we thought on the last couple of revs there, but all that'll come out later on. We did the first cislunar navigation on the way out, the one we were trying to do pretty early in the game. Did about two-thirds of it, really, and as you probably copied on the air-to-ground, Lovell reported that he was pretty tired and he didn't think he could keep going on it, so we certainly agreed with him shutting down on that and going to the rest mode. And I guess we left it about 200,000 away from the Earth and going about 5,300 feet a second and about 76,000 nautical miles, 7,600 nautical miles above the moon. And I hope we don't get into too much of a thing tonight on the reference and all of that. I was kind of interested in the previous press conference when we had a little discussion on trains and service stations and things like that. There's just one other thing I'd like to make. You know, several people have been up here with me, and different people have been present with the other flight directors, and I'm sure everybody is aware, and certainly y'all are aware, that this is just the top of the iceberg, really. There's literally thousands of people working on the flight. It's gone, I think, to date phenomenally well, and it's a result of many man months of man years of hard work. And there's many, many people in the control center. There's lots of people spread all over the world, particularly. I understand that they might play a portion of the press conference out to some of the recovery forces, and I don't know how many thousand men that constitutes, but to a serviceman, particularly a Navy man, it's the Christmas season is pretty precious to him. They get away for long tours of duty on the water, and they look forward usually to being at home for Christmas, and there's a lot of them that don't make it this year. And we certainly appreciate the efforts that they're going to support the recovery part of the operation. And we're headed home now, and we're going to expect some fine support in the next couple of days here from them. So with that, unless you have anything else there, Doug, we'll turn it over for questions.
Yeah, we'll open it up to questions. Art?
What does the situation look like as far as mid-course corrections on the way back?
Well, we took in some preliminary tracking data, and based on that, we need about, it's going to be very small, like 6 feet per second, and this will be an elapsed time of about 104 hours is about the time of this mid-course. And the flight plans where it's planned nominally, and it is going to be about 6 foot per second.
And is that the only one, then, that you'll need?
Well,
probably.
That will correct us back to trim the entry conditions as best we know the trajectory back to exactly what we want. And then with subsequent tracking data and based on how well the maneuver was performed, we may need two more mid-courses. We'll always plan to do one at entry interface minus 2 hours, and we will do that one unless it's less than 0.2 foot per second, and I really can't predict how it's going to be, but we have always set up to do that one if we have to.
Let me ask one more if I may. On the seventh rev level, in addition to commenting on the landing site, also talked about sunrise on the moon and this haze that apparently precedes it. And I wondered if any of you all would care to speculate as to what that might be.
Well, I certainly wouldn't, if these gentlemen would like to. First of all, I must not have been in the control center when he made that comment, and I know that this morning that there was an expert on it talked about that, and I really can't contribute any to that. There'll be millions of people, I guess, studying all that. I was always amused by some of the earlier shots where everybody said, "See, that proves that it's soft," and the other people said, "See, that proves it's hard," and all that, the surveyors and all that. So I don't know anything about that, really.
Does anyone know who wrote that parody of The Night Before Christmas?
No, it's. Did you know, Doug?
No, I understood it was somebody in the Mission Planning and Analysis Division.
Could you find out?
Yes, I'm sure we can.
It may be a group of people. I got the impression that it came from kind of a joint effort, but perhaps it was just one.
Since all the burns have been so good, so almost perfect, how has this changed your evaluation of the whole system? If there is going to be a next time around the moon, are you going to be just as concerned about as to whether or not it will fire on time and fire correctly?
I'm going to be.
You will. It hasn't changed your.
No, we thought before we left we had a good system, and we're probably aware that we have burned it many times. The total burn times have been in excess of what we have. We didn't have any single burn this long, but we were confident in the system, and it's worked out very well. Maybe I'll feel a little bit better, but I can see if I happen to be on a shift waiting for TEI, I'm going to feel the same way, I expect. next time, and the time after that too. But as far as a statistical thing, obviously you got to feel, the more time you do it, the better you've got to feel. But well, we always felt technically, you know, unemotionally, we look at it and say, yeah, that's a good system. Emotionally, why, you got to say, it's a great feeling when you come around the moon and you get the AOS at the right time and he tells you the residual's almost nothing.
After you acquired the spacecraft signal, the last go around the moon, there was a period of a couple of minutes before you got voice contact. Was there any concern? What kind of signal did you receive initially that convinced you that the spacecraft had successfully performed the SPS burn behind the moon? And was there any concern because you didn't immediately get voice contact?
Why don't you answer that, Jay?
I can probably answer that. Our best indication that the burn was performed nominally was the acquisition time. And I would say it was within 3 seconds of the planned acquisition time that we got the report. I believe it was Honeysuckle had RF acquisition.
Was there some communications problem there that you didn't immediately receive voice contact?
Let me define acquisition. To us in the control center, acquisition comes when the station first says that they have a signal from the vehicle. Now, the signal that made us feel so good was not actually a sufficient quality to pass the voice information, and the TM was not too good either. Although the TM improved, and in fact Jay was getting data back which told him pretty much that it looked good before even we could get the voice. So the acquisition that he refers to is not a good quality voice that perhaps you had referred to acquisition.
Was there some voice that you didn't pass on to us that you received initially?
No, I'm sure you must have copied. If you were on air to ground loop, you heard the same thing we heard.
In other words, the first thing was this discussion about there is a Santa Claus. Is that right? Lovell's comment that there is a Santa Claus. Is that the first thing you heard?
All that's kind of, is that?
Yeah, as I recall, there was a call put in to the crew from the capsule communicator, and then we got a response from Lovell, and one of the first things he said was the Santa Claus remark.
Well, one other thing I guess it's today. Is there any plan to send some Christmas carols up? There'd been some talk about that, and also, which meal is the Christmas meal for the three gentlemen?
You mean what food item? Well, first of all, to talk about your carol, I doubt if we'll send any carols up. We may decide to do that. We're in a semi-relaxed mode right now, you might say, getting spend a day here, maybe calming down, and then another day building back up again for the entry. We don't have quite the situation we had in some of the earlier missions where we had two circuits, but we do have the capability of sending voice up or something up on the uplink and still being in a receive mode on the downlink. We can do that. We may choose to do that. I don't know. I'm really not going to worry about anything until tomorrow night at 9 o'clock when I go back on duty. Let them worry about all that. And now your other question about the meal. I'm sorry, I can't. Do you want to know what they're going to eat? Is that what you mean? The Christmas meal, I guess, is going to be the day's meal. You want to know when they eat, perhaps? Today, supposedly, they're going to eat whenever they get ready to.
Isn't one of the meals a built-in Christmas meal with turkey or something like that? Which one is it? The first meal when Lovell and Andrews wake up.
Well, the first time I've got down here for them to eat. Well, Borman eats when he wakes up, which he's been awake so long he may sleep for a whole day. I don't know about that, but around 93 hours, which is 2 or 3 hours from now, I guess you could count that if you want to consider that the Christmas meal. That's probably not a very good answer, but I look for them all to sleep for quite a while, and then the first meal that they have, I think, after they've rested, I think they'll count that as their Christmas meal. That's what I would do. Christmas is what you make it, isn't it?
I was trying to get clear. The person who said, be informed, there is a Santa Claus. That was Lovell.
It sounded like Lovell to me. That's.
Then who said later on, that was a very nice ride, the last one. This engine is the smoothest one.
I believe that was Borman. That was the voice that I understood
that
it to be.
That was Borman. And a final question. I think the nominal burn to return from the moon is something like 171 seconds, which would get you back in 90-some hours. And it was announced before the mission that they were going to, instead of 170 seconds, they were going to burn for about 200 seconds to get home 24 hours early. And I take it from the burn time that that plan was followed through. You did burn to get home in 69 hours, in other words.
Well, not 69, is it?
The return
50
time.
See, no, I guess it is 60. No,
well,
it's 55.
The ignition was about 89 hours. It was 89, 19, 15.67 seconds. 89 hours, 19 minutes, 15.67 seconds when they lighted. And splash, let me get a good number on splash, will be about 147 hours, 3 minutes, and 34 seconds. So that's, you got to give me a few minutes on that one. But that's about 57 hours from TEI to entry. So we did elect to come back a day earlier.
But
so that's your
it
question.
It is the early return.
It was the thing that we, it was the plan that we intended to use when we lifted off.
Yes.
It was a return to 146 hours approximately in the Pacific.
Yes.
As opposed to the early one of 170 hours, 24.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the nominal thing that we lifted off with. In fact, the maneuver was almost exactly what was planned.
Milt, on Apollo 7, they had an anomaly sheet or something like that where they listed anything that went wrong, any type of glitch, whether it was solved or not, whether
yes.
they had to wait for the ship to get back or not, or whether, I think it even included some pre-launch. You keep that on this mission, and if you do, how many entries do you have on that?
Well, you could play the game, you know, what's an anomaly? Yes, there are probably a whole bunch of people keeping logs like that. We have a short one up in the one up in the control center that the assistant flight director keeps. The last time I looked at it, it had perhaps 7 or 8 entries, but some of these were not real anomalies. Like, you know, the Mae West is inflated. As far as we know, it's still inflated, stuffed under a couch somewhere. And we haven't even worried about asking them yet, is it still inflated? So we've got that, for example, listed. I don't really count that as an anomaly. Although the fact that it inflated by itself will be one, I'm sure. So that's one. Does that answer your question? There's essentially no real anomalies. I mean, any serious ones. These are all real small type things.
That pretty well answers it. I think they had something like just the number of entries, which maybe were, you know, not really problems. Mm-hmm. On the other one was in the 30s, I believe.
That's right. Now, by this time on 7, as you're aware, there were several that were they were substantial. I mean, not substantial, but, you know, they were things that we really wanted to track down, and people were working pretty hard on them.
Is this a better bird than 7?
Is this what?
Is this a better bird than 7?
I'd have to say it is. The one you've got, you know, is always the best one.
You don't consider the window fogging problem, which was apparent during the TV transmission, to be a serious problem?
Well, no, I guess you couldn't hardly classify it as a serious problem. The main windows that we plan to use, the rendezvous windows, are essentially usable and essentially clear. I think it's kind of unfortunate, though, that it happens, and I sure hope we can find out why. It's hard, bad to have a window you can't use.
Milt, are you saying that nothing of any real significance has gone wrong in this flight?
I would say that, yes.
How about saying it, dude? Would you mind
about saying it?
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing has gone wrong of any significance. We're happy as clams. It's amazing. The only thing that's gone wrong is when I tried to explain which way the moon, which way the North Pole was the other night. Did that all get squared away now? Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.